Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who, like our guests today, are famous siblings, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, I know that we're both very excited about our guests today. We've been lucky enough to get to do their incredible podcast, Wow and Wow. I met one of our guests today when, and now I'm not sure exactly, I think it she was in the show at Second City called No Country for Old White Men. She was in the main stage cast of the show, and I came in to understudy. And I have the most fond memories of that, of understudying, you know, her show because... although I believe she was pretty nice to me. In general, those casts would really bully me quite a bit in a loving way. Like they would bully me like the way that sort of when people meet me and they kind of get me right away, they just go straight into sort of light bully mode because that's my role. You know what I mean, Jonah? I'm the one you bully, sort of, in a loving way because you know that I am nice and I won't give you anything back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm enjoying listening to this because you're trying not to say the guest's name, but also talk about her. And that's always tough.
It's always a bit of a threading a needle when we're excited to introduce our guests today, but then we also don't want to give away their names, even though their names are very clearly written on the show information. And
everyone listening to this knows who the guests are, but we act like it's going to be this big surprise.
Yeah, everyone listening knows exactly what is going on.
Yeah, well, let's just maybe introduce them and get into it, I think.
Our guests today are New York Times bestselling authors who co-wrote the book You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey, Crazy Stories About Racism, and a second book, The World Record Book of Racist Stories. Plus, they host the podcast, The Amber and Lacey, Lacey and Amber Show. Please welcome host of The Amber Ruffin Show and her sister, otherwise known as everyone's favorite middle child, the talented and hilarious siblings, Amber Ruffin and Lacey Lamar.
Yay!
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Yay.
Thank you so much for being here.
We're excited. Excited to be here.
Now, who the fuck was bullying you?
Well...
because Amber and I will find them today.
I'll fight them tonight.
We'll find them in the streets.
You know, I used to understudy Emily Wilson and Shelley Gossman a lot. And either one of them would sort of bully when the other one was up, but like lovingly. And like then as the cast sort of changed up, it would be Brad Morris bullying me, Mike O'Brien bullying me. You know what I mean? Like it just sort of, and everybody just kind of had fun.
Now that you say the people's names, I'm like, Emily bullying you, probably not.
They're the sweetest people. Yeah. So I'm using the term bullying almost too liberally. Like it's showing that they accepted me.
Yeah. Yeah. Teasing a little.
Teasing.
Teasing me.
Teasing.
Because
there's a better word. We'll find it.
There's a better word than bully. I mean, it sounds like, by the way,
ribbing.
The four people whose names I just mentioned are like the most talented, sweet, amazing, hilarious people. And it sounds like I'm like outing them. I don't mean to be like,
they punched like, me every day.
Outing them for bullying me. They really couldn't have been sweeter to me. And I still look up to all four of them so much. But also, I think it was the most fun I ever had doing a show in Chicago, maybe. And don't tell my improv team, Revolver that.
Oh, remember Revolver? Didn't you guys have, am I making this up? Who am I thinking of?
You might be confusing us with The Reckoning.
That's right.
Yeah. Revolver, because I was going to say, I think Revolver was not cool yet when you were on main stage. But we got cool, okay? And that's what matters. Amber, were you on any improv teams? And Lacey, have you ever entered this world of improv?
Amber and I did improv just growing up.
I think Lacey's offended that you would even ask.
I'm leaving.
No, well, Lacey, please stay.
Because Jonah took an improv class once.
You did?
I took a couple improv classes at UCB a very long time ago. Yeah.
Jonah, I don't even know you anymore.
I know. It was kind of that period where like UCB was getting more popular and it was like half the people seemed into comedy and half were like trying to sort of like make it in the industry or something. And it was just like a strange kind of vibe. Although my first ever improv teacher was Anthony Atamanik, who was amazing.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
Everybody that was great. Like it. Yeah, it just wasn't really, it was fun for me, but it wasn't exactly my thing.
You were doing it to help with your writing, right?
I was doing it to help with my writing. And to be honest, now I work as a therapist. And I think a lot of those skills, you know, can be good just for any sort of therapeutic conversation, a journalistic conversation. I think just the yes anding, agreeing with people, like trying to get more. I think those are good just communication skills in general.
Oh, so does that kind of make you feel differently, and? Lacey?
See, Lacey?
Lacey? Yes.
Buddy?
And? I just keep saying yes and throughout this whole podcast now.
You're pretty good. You're doing
the thing I had the most problems with for me was like the body language stuff where it's like, I'm going to pretend I'm making a cake and like I have to do like with my arms. And it's like, I can't.
That. I don't want to do that. Yeah. I want there to be a real cake.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, she brought a real cake in?
We did a whole episode about improv with Sam Richardson maybe a few months ago. It came out, and I think Sam and I both decided afterwards we can never do improv again. JK,
I certainly see where you're coming from.
Maybe we can, but I don't know.
Lacey, would you ever go to any of Amber's shows? Or
I've been to, yes. I love going to see Amber's show. Love them. Yeah. Love them. And then I said, that's my baby. Yeah.
Oh,
I get it. Love it. I get it. Yeah.
Love to watch it. Love all of that. Couldn't do it. And Amber knows I can't memorize anything. We've had to do some things where we've had to like have the script, but normally they give us like cue card. If there's not a cue card, I won't remember a line. I don't have it in me. And my daughter loves musical theater and she can do all that. I envy people that can memorize a script. I could never.
Yes.
Never. I don't have that skill. So I envy people that can do that.
I think you get better at it if you have to do it a lot. Like I remember when I used to understudy those main stage shows at Second City, the understudying got me really good at it because they'd be like, you're doing a show tomorrow. And I'd had to memorize like an entire,
What?
You only can't memorize anything because you have another option. But if your options are memorize it or look like a fucking asshole, you will remember.
It's gonna happen.
You'll remember it 100%. Yes. Guaranteed.
It's crazy what the mind does. You just learn how to do it.
Yeah, you don't want to be embarrassed. And that drives you.
It really, really drives you.
Okay.
And by the way, I wasn't meaning to badmouth improv. It's just, you have to be so vulnerable in a way that I just don't know that I can, I don't know if I have it in me still.
Mm. I think it's silly. You have to look like a silly butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But can you? I don't know. Not everybody can do that. I look like an asshole all day. I don't give a rip.
And the thing that, Jonah, you were talking about is, I feel like in certain improv classes, certain teachers, you'd have to just walk right up to the front of the stage and start making a coffee and doing dishes and cleaning. You just have to be like doing, and I was always like, I don't think I can make up stuff to talk about and do all these motions at the same time.
Yeah, there's that. And then like the games you have to play at the beginning, like quote unquote, loosen up, where it's like everyone go in the middle and like dance or something. It's like,
I gotta go, guys.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The warmups for your team. Yeah.
It is odd. It doesn't make any sense. If you were to describe improv to someone who had never heard of it, they'd be like, you're improvising what improv is. Because yes. It makes no right. sense.
Yes. I just had this memory of one time my team at IO, or maybe it was my class was doing a show. Anyways, we decided a great thing for us to do was to like share, each person share like something that they thought no one knew about them. And some of the stuff that people shared was like pretty dark. And 100%. Then it was like, okay, let's go do a show.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It was like, why did we do this to warm up? And to your point, Amber, there's like no rules. It's like, this counts as a warm up.
Mm-hmm. I can remember two separate times where someone said something unhinged in that shit.
Wow.
And it was like, oh no, wow. We can never do this again. And then the second time happened, I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then it happened again. Guys, be careful.
Be careful.
Don't be cheerful. Be careful.
That's right. Mm-mm. That's right.
Lacey, what was did you have sort of like a, did you play an instrument or have like a creative outlet? Like what was your kind of thing when you were younger or now or whenever?
It's funny. We did, and I don't think Amber was a part of this, but okay. We always acted out plays. My sister Crystal would write these weird ass plays and then we would go do it. They actually let us perform a play that my sister wrote in elementary school, and we got to go to class and perform it in front of the class.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And yes, because Crystal would write all the time and write these things. So I loved
our oldest sister
drama. Yeah, we have an older sister. And this is so funny. Could not tell you, I can't remember what the play was, but we incorporated, I can't believe Amber was not a part of this, the song Dancing Queen in it. And we sung it. We danced at the end of the play.
What was it? Wait a second. What? This seems right up Amber's alley.
I don't know what the play was about, but I remember going, ooh, can we put Dancing Queen in there? And they were like, yeah. And so we sang Dancing Queen at the end of the play.
Oh,
there was no
God.
Reason for us to do it. Can you imagine? Yeah.
Guys, and that's how she got weird. The podcast is over. Run the
credit. We were weird people. Yeah. We would do little bits in the house, though, Amber. Because remember, I was Imogene Thudpucker, and I loved that. Do you remember Imogene Thudpucker? We would do weird bits all the time. Like, all of a sudden, we're like, okay, we're going. And I was like a business lady, and I would put on these big, thick glasses and maybe like a wig. And I'd be like, Imogene Thudpucker. And we would just do these weird bits all the time.
There were also songs that
we wrote a million songs.
People don't know.
Yeah.
And I was very young, and they would have all these songs that they had made up.
Wow.
And then I got out into the world and was like, you know, the song about fish heads. And they were like, that's not a song. I was like, oh, I guess
I saw
Lacey
the pony climb up the tree. That was a big hit.
That's a classic.
It wasn't a real song.
Yeah.
Not real. Not
Jonah,
real.
Did you write songs as a kid?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was playing in bands when I was like 15, before that, yeah, I feel like I would kind of write songs in a notebook or something. Yeah, a little bit.
I think little.
Did you?
Well, Mia and I, you know, wrote songs. Our cousin Mia and I wrote songs, and she's since told me one of them in particular was like a ripoff of a song that exists.
She's like, I didn't write that.
So,
sing
but.
It.
Well,
she stole a song. I thought it was her own.
I can't remember. Well, first of all, before I sing, you guys have to sing one of yours. Do you remember one of the greats? Or like a compilation of a few?
Fishheads, Firemen, and I Saw the Pony Climb Up the Tree.
Let's do the Firemen. The pony climb up the tree, we can't.
Okay.
No one will ever. I'm the fireman. Well, that's from Sesame Street. But the rap. We added the rap.
Okay.
I'm the fireman. I'm ready to go. I'm the fireman.
I'm the fireman and I'm ready to go. A bright red hat and a rubber hose. I put out the fire at your crib.
I never got a medal for what I did.
Whoa.
Nice. Wow.
Right?
Wait, can I hear the fish one? Fish heads?
Fish heads a real song too.
Fish Heads is a real song, I was going to say. Yeah.
But we also put a rap in there, but I don't remember the rap. Yeah.
Roly poly fish heads. Fish heads. Ha! Eat them up. Yum.
Yeah.
They're fish heads. They're not bones, but you can't eat them. Got to leave them alone. They bounce on the words, as you can see. So everybody come and sing along with me. Fish heads.
Whoa, so you put
songs.
That's incredible.
That was a really good remix, though, because if you think about, look at it, because the song goes fish heads, roly-poly, fish heads, fish, but then Crystal made it fish heads, roly-poly, fish heads. It's so cute.
So cool, too. Oh, wait, Jonah, you know Fish Heads?
Yeah, it used to be on MTV and stuff. Like, it's like an 80s or like late 70s.
Okay, so it's not
song.
Like a Raffi song. It's not like Baby Beluga. It's like an adult.
No, it's like a kind of a comedy song, but not like really for kids, I don't think.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll sing a little bit from the song that Mia and I wrote.
Yay!
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Okay. It goes like this. I know everyone had forgotten.
But thank you for bringing us back to when you can perform.
It goes,
I need it.
So her name's Mia and mine's Vanessa, as you know. Okay, here. So that'll just make the beginning make sense. It goes, hi, we're MV and we like to chill ya. We know a little girl called Emma Cavilla. She has a lot of friends. There's Julie. There's Julie and Jenny and Hillary too. But I'm not sure I should say it to you. She's got them. She's got them. Friends. Friends are really nice. The friends are really nice. Or even nice. And then Mia goes, hey, V, why don't you pump up the beat for me? And then I go, she's got them. She's got them. She's got them. She's got them. Friends. I think there's one more verse, but I won't. You guys kind of have.
I think we got the idea. Yeah.
So like
wait, what's the name? You say,
is that the stolen song?
You know, I should find out. I bet I could text her. I should find out. She later told me that song is taken from something. And by later, I mean like 2 years ago. And we wrote this song.
She's been living in shame this whole time. It's been eating up her soul. She's like,
this song is over 30 years old. So it's been.
Wait, so. It's about how someone else has a lot of friends.
Is it an R&B song? Because I felt a little hip-hop vibe in there.
I think it might be. Okay, wait.
How many of us have them?
Is it friends?
Sounds
like Fish Heads.
Before we go any further,
let's be friends.
I'm just going to send her a quick text and see what
Tell her we're outing her. I mean,
she's going to go, don't tell anyone. Certainly don't put it on the podcast. But
I love how she remembered. Isn't it funny how you can remember?
It is.
You can remember songs.
Lyrics from back in the day.
I will definitely write a song and then be like, oh, that song already exists. That's certainly happened
to
me
to
before.
Do.
Yeah. Well, what I'm impressed, you know, musically with you two is that when we were on your podcast, you're able to like play live samples and stuff on the fly. That to me is really impressive. We've never done that. That all gets added later for us.
We edit later.
Okay.
Yeah, we edit later.
We
now.
Do the theme song and then we make up the theme song. But the rest of them shits, man, I can't be pressing all these buttons.
I get it.
No. I was impressed you were doing that. It's like you gotta focus.
Look, there's too many things.
You're a songwriter. You two are New York Times bestselling authors, you're songwriters and performers. You've toured around many, many classrooms doing.
Did a whole elementary school tour.
Yeah. And now you got to trigger sound effects while you're working.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I'm above all of that now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, speaking of being, sometimes I try and come up with segues where I don't know what I was going to say, but. We are going to take a quick commercial break.
You're going to say being above something?
I was going to say like, speaking of being above something, we're between a commercial break. Like it's all prepositions.
Right. I see what, you just got to be confident.
And do you remember how you learned prepositions in like middle school? It was like, you use a box, like above the box, below the box. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Amber and Lacey.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Wow.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. During that commercial break, I was able to find out the source of our Mia and my quote unquote our song,
what
Friends.
Is it?
And the song is Erase Key by Houdini.
Friends. Isn't that Friends?
How many of us have us them? Have them?
Let's That's be Houdini. Friends.
Yeah.
It that is Houdini. Hilarious.
It has to be.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's what we said.
You called it, Lacey. Good job.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait a second. She said erase key. She meant erase the word key. So sorry.
It's
so
Houdini.
It's the Friends song by Houdini.
Houdini. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know what erase key meant, but I know who.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
She wrote Houdini. Key, Houdini key, erase key. And then I thought the name of the song was erase key, but it was.
I love it.
So yeah, you got it.
Stole
it. Oh, she
from
sent
Friends.
Me a link to it. And she's clarified the spelling is Houdini.
Houdini, W-H-O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which mm-hmm. same pronunciation, I guess. But yeah. I'm impressed that you got it right away, Lacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good song. It was a hot song.
It's a good, song.
It really is.
And when mm-hmm. I sang you our song, did it sort of, you said it sort of seemed like might have been a
little hip-hoppy going on.
Hip-hoppy mm-hmm. song.
Yeah. That's true. It was a rap.
Yeah, it's a rap. Yeah.
And then if you do the math of when songs mentioned Friends and when you were a baby.
There's only a couple yeah. of them.
She just mm-hmm. actually texted me and said, I don't remember listening to this song as a kid, but we had to have ripped it off.
You did.
That's really funny.
We're very excited because...
Amber and Lacey, we asked you to bring in a topic today to talk about, and one of your topics really thrilled us, and we have so many questions, but to start, I'm just going to introduce what the topic is. You suggested rolling down a hill in a barrel. Mm-hmm. Now, take us through what your experience with that is.
Okay, so our father used to work at Duncan Hines. And Duncan Hines is like, you know, they make cakes, brownies, all that, all desserts and
delicious
stuff. So he would bring us these huge barrels because that's how they would store the chocolate chips. So there would be...
Oh my God, they have chocolate chips. So did
tons,
they smell
there
like
would
chocolate
still be t- Oh, there would still be tons of chocolate chips in this barrel.
Oh my so God, this is my dream.
And eat all these chocolate chips. Oh my... And he would bring us brownies and desserts all the time. But I loved the chocolate chip barrel more than anything. And when I tell you it was a barrel, it was a barrel big enough to put a human being in. So we would take the bag out, eat all the chocolate chips. Then we had a huge yard. We had over an acre. So we it was on a slope. It sloped down.
Wait, I have a question about the barrel. One more question. So okay. It's lined with a big bag that's full of chocolate chips.
Yes, yes.
And your parents were like, you can just...
Go for it. There's five of us.
No, by the time the barrel
gets
to us, it has been
emptied. It's been emptied
but because
by
it's
probably
a bag,
some type of machine.
There's a ton of... chocolate
left
chips
over.
Still in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's not completely
to, like,
full.
I see.
Yeah,
I
I'm
see.
Sorry. My okay. dad did not steal from the... That sounded
no,
bad.
No. I would have thought that they'd say, like, here, go ahead.
How did you get into it? Like, would you tip the barrel on the side or
you
would
just,
you go in
well,
from the top?
You would pull the bag out and then we would eat eat all the...
Leftover.
The leftover chocolate chips, which was a lot. Then you'd roll the barrel up the hill. And then one of us would get inside the barrel and they'd push you down. Now, did you enjoy this?
Loved it. Friggin' loved it. Exhilarating.
I hated it.
10 out of 10.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you when you were telling us about the barrel because I had so many questions about the chips. Now that I understand the chips, will you re-explain the barrel? I mean, sorry, the hill was in front yard, backyard.
Backyard.
And it's, what does it lead to? The bottom. And how steep we talking?
It's steep enough that we also would use a toboggan and go down the hill super fast. So, you pick up speed. You pick up speed.
You can't control it.
You can't control it. You're going to feel it.
And is it just into a field or is it like, are there trees at the bottom there that you're going to hit?
There's a gate at the bottom. So if
it's
you went,
yeah.
it's like very, very steep hill. And then it levels out for a while. So you would stop before you hit the fence.
Sometimes.
But if you really got good speed, I mean, that's the goal, right? You want to hit the fence.
And this is one of the reasons why I am extremely claustrophobic. I never enjoyed it.
Aww.
One time my sister shoved me in there. And in the middle of the roll, I decided I wanted to get out. And I never did this again. I put my hands on the outside of the barrel.
Oh no.
And from then on, I was terrified to get inside that barrel. Amber's a little thrill seeker. She loved that.
Woo.
I hated it. But I loved to watch him do it. I was like, that looks fun. I don't have it in me to do that anymore. Amber, how old was I born? I was born a 62-year-old woman. I didn't enjoy this. I've always been an old lady. Didn't enjoy it at all.
Okay. So, and what's the lid? What are the lids like on these?
No lid. Oh, there was a lid, but we'd never put the lid on.
You wouldn't put the lid on.
No.
You would do it lidless.
You would do it
and
lidless.
Then lots of times, your instinct is to hold on to something.
Yes,
of course. The only thing you can hold on to is the edge of the barrel.
Don't do that.
And that's going to roll, and it's going to crush all of your fingies. So you have
you
to
gotta
know.
You've got to be like this inside.
So, like, if you were a thrill seeker like me, you're just flopping around in that mug. You don't want to hold on to anything. But if you were a cautious child, you would hold on to the outside rim and you would crush all your little
fingies. You'd never do it again. You do it once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one time one of our friends got stuck in that barrel.
No.
Amber, you remember? We called him Charlie Brown. He was just
Michael Johnson.
Charlie.
Who got stuck
in there? Don't say names.
I always say
Nathan
names.
Vanessa always is like, oh, do you mean this person? Here's their full and last name. And I'm
Nathan
like,
Nathan got stuck in the barrel. And that was really sad. We had to pull him out.
Was he okay?
Yeah, he was fine. He just tensed
a little...
up. And he was probably too big to be in that barrel by that time.
Now, speaking of which, I just wanted to say, did any of you ever get injured? any you or any of your siblings going down the barrel. It's
just my fingers.
Yeah. Such a classic, like, you know, there's all these like articles about like stuff that we did when we were kids that like now would be looked at as being so dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went down the barrel. Was there ever a snow element to it? Like, was there ever a weather?
No, never. Yes. The barrel was for good weather, but for snow, we had a ski bike, which is a bike that has skis where the wheels are.
Oh my God. So that you can kill yourself on that. So scary. Yeah. What is the point of a ski bike? Just so that like, if you fall, there's a bunch of metal in front of you.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
That sounds
truly the worst idea.
Now, I don't know where to turn.
I don't know where to turn.
Just the barrel, a barrel down a hill, and no one ever really got gravely injured.
Nah.
Now, did you ever, a move that we pulled that was sort of similar? Well, I have two stories. One is it involves our cousin Mia again when we were kids.
The songwriter?
The songwriter.
From Houdini.
Houdini.
We used to rap with Houdini?
Fan.
Yes.
What we had stairs in our house, and that was an endless source of fun.
Carpeted
stairs. And
oh yeah.
So we've talked about this on here before too, but we used to often take a pillow and sort of sled down the stairs right into a door that was at the bottom, right into a closet at the bottom of the stairs. That's why I was asking what was at the bottom, because, you know, we didn't have much of a landing at the bottom of the stairs. So that was tough. But one time Mia, I can't remember who did it first. I think Mia rolled down the stairs as if she was in a barrel, but with no barrel, the carpet of the stairs being the barrel, sort of serving the same purpose as the in terms of quote unquote protecting her. And then Jonah, I think you saw Mia roll down the stairs and you thought that it looked so fun that then you rolled down the stairs.
Yeah, it sounds possible.
And then you sort of hurt yourself because
probably the stairs, there was about a 2-foot clearance and then a closet door. So you go down and then it was, you didn't
but
have
I
a lot
of
space.
But I think you hurt yourself just even on that roll down.
Oh no.
Because Vanessa has so much of a better memory than I do that I think we had completely different childhoods, because I can't remember any of the stuff. Vanessa's like, I probably did. If you say that, yeah. I probably did. It probably hurt. Sounds like it would have hurt.
Didn't feel good.
But did you guys ever do anything like that inside the house?
You ever rolled the barrel down your stairs?
We, in our house, we had a clothes chute.
Oh God.
Yes. So upstairs you would put your clothes down the chute.
Yeah.
So sometimes children would go down the chute. I never did it. Lacey, did you go down the chute?
Now, you know when it all stopped?
Uh-oh.
Because I had two older sisters. I got experimented on by Crystal and Angela all the time. And one time they would always shove me down the chute. Against my will.
Oh my God.
And they shoved me down the chute one time and I got stuck. And my dad had to come home from work and pull me out, and we never did it again.
Wow.
And I, again, another reason why I'm claustrophobic. I didn't want to go down that chute, but they would make me do these things.
That's terrifying.
And can you imagine being hung upside down and you can't get,
you
can't
get out? Oh my God, you were upside down?
Yeah, it was face. I went face first.
No.
Yeah. So my dad had to rush home and snatch me out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they did. That's what we did.
That's horrible.
It's almost better that you got stuck though, right?
What?
Like,
no.
Why?
Well, because then you're going face first down this like chute. Like, you know, at least you're not
at all. No, I never wanted
to get
in it. But
wait a second. Before then, had you successfully gone down the chute before?
Fall down on a big thing of clothes.
Okay, like, got it.
Jonah was worried. You were thinking there was no padding at the bottom.
Yeah, I was thinking.
No,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
padding.
Oh,
there's
okay,
padding.
Okay, because we had a laundry chute growing up, but we never went down it.
Oh, I was gonna say, Jonah, this was another thing. Jonah knows exactly what I'm going to say, which is I used to have this recurring dream that I would jump down the stairs from the top stair to the bottom stairs. And then I tried to do it once while I was awake, because you know how sometimes when you're a kid, you're like, I don't know. And I literally physically couldn't do it because of the physics of it. Like, because the ceiling followed at the same angle as the ground.
Oh,
so it's like, I wouldn't have been able to get the angle required to jump to the, and I remember standing at the top of the stairs and being like so disappointed that it was just something I had dreamt about. But the other thing that I think I maybe dreamt about was going down that chute, but I don't think we ever did.
No.
Our chute was pretty tiny,
it was
too.
Small. It was small.
It was pretty small.
And you know what I always thought was cool that older houses used to have were intercoms. Did you guys have an intercom at your house?
No, we didn't. But I had friends that did.
You did?
That was so cool.
70s intercom system.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious.
You guys, I live in a house that's built in the 70s. And what we have is a thing I've never seen in a house in my entire life. There is a thing in the wall, and it's in every room, where you open up a little flap, you know, like the things that cover the outlets. That's exactly where it is and the size of it. And if you open it, then there's a big hole and the hole starts sucking. And what you have instead of a regular vacuum cleaner is just a big ass hose. And you take it with a vacuum, you know,
it's
like
wonderful.
Cleaner on the end. And you take the hose from room to room, and that's how you clean your house. The house itself is a vacuum. It's a vacuum cleaner. Never heard of it. Never seen it in my entire life.
Where does
life.
It go? Like, where does it empty out to?
I was about to say, have you ever emptied it?
Never emptied it.
Wow. Amber, it's...
I have never emptied it. I couldn't tell you where it is.
It's time to empty
it. It's fine.
It reminds me of a certain sci-fi show that I've only seen one season of, where... But we won't say the name of it, because it's right, but... It feels very like, where did all the stuff you vacuumed go?
Yeah, we need to find that out, Amber. It could be going into a whole alternate universe, and I need to know this.
It's not my business.
I don't need to know. It's not our business.
As long
it's
as
going
the
into their neighbor's kitchen, and they're
it's
getting
fine.
Upset every time she does it. Fine. Where is this coming from?
They're fine.
You know, vacuuming is something that I've gotten so into as an adult. Something
it's
like
so
I feel like
that thing that you
it's the most satisfying.
Kid,
where it's like right? I always want an excuse, and if I see something where there's like a bunch of like stuff in the, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like so. Yeah, what is it about that when you hit a certain age? You're like, I just want to vacuum
it.
Everything.
Absolutely.
I haven't hit that age yet, and. I don't know if I will.
I love sweeping and vacuuming.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm almost the opposite to the point where I don't even see stuff that needs to be swept or vacuumed.
Are you adding things onto what? The floor? You're not even making the trash. You're just like, eh. Let me just drop this right
I
here.
Sort of am just like, yeah, that's what floor looks like.
No.
No.
Oh, well.
Floor should look like stuff, Vanessa.
Any other adventures inside or outside the house? I'm so glad you're okay, Lacey. That is so scary that you were stuck upside down.
I thought I was
down.
Never going to be able to play the piano again.
Do you know how long you were stuck upside down for?
Oh, I was thinking the barrel thing. It was a while. It was enough for me to be crying, them calling my dad, and my dad coming home from work. That's a long
time.
Dude.
So do you think it was like, Lacey, because of all this stuff kind of you went through, but... Amber, by the time you were growing up, like your parents had instilled, like you can't do this stuff or you'll get in trouble or no?
No, because Lacey was my older sibling.
Okay.
Like the two older siblings older than Lacey were too old to be concerned with me at all.
Okay.
I just had Lacey and Lacey's too nice to do that.
Okay.
Right.
Because she was tortured. So.
Yeah, I was tortured. They experimented on me.
Anyone has any reason to be claustrophobic, I think someone who has been both stuck in a laundry chute and a barrel.
And, yeah. Amber, the red oven. We had a red oven.
Oh, what? The red oven.
It was a toy oven, and the doors only opened out. So my sisters would stick me in the red oven and put it upside down. Can't get out of that.
Crystal, come on.
That's terrible. Then someone come and rescue you. You'd be like, oh, I'm stuck in the oven in the backyard. Be rocking back and forth. The dad come out and rescue you. So you want to talk about being claustrophobic? These are the reasons why. People ask me why, and I get, but the red oven really did it to me. Cannot be in closed spaces.
Oh my God.
It's amazing your dad got any work done at Duncan Hines. He's telling you to come home every other day to rescue you.
See in that closet over there? Do not like small spaces.
Horrible.
I
no
cannot
wonder he was always bringing home barrels of chocolate chips. He probably wanted you to feel better.
Yeah.
Did you get stuck in anything today? Here, go ahead and have this chocolate chips. Yeah.
Wow. I'm speechless. I'm just speechless. I guess we're going to take another commercial break, which is a good time to do is when you're speechless, is how they say in the world of podcasts. But we'll be right back with Amber and Lacey.
Yay!
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. How's everyone feeling after? I'm feeling ready to roll down a hill in the barrel.
So you say.
It's really fun. Lacey's wrong. It's so super you fun. Say, everybody do it.
Would you find any life. Chocolate chips kind of bouncing around when you're rolling
oh.
down?
No, it's that sucker's cleaned out.
Well, you had taken the plastic
yeah, the
bag.
Plastic right.
Okay. There's so no plastic more. Bag.
There's yeah. a plastic bag in like a cardboard-ish barrel yeah. with like metal edges.
Yeah. Okay.
Before we get to our game, can I just ask, do you find that you have such good self-control around desserts as adults because you grew up with them all over? Like if we had one bag of chocolate chips in our house growing up, we like would have to eat it. Like it would just be, we couldn't handle it. And I still am like that. Like I still, any desserts in my house, I'm like, I have to eat all of this right now. Do you feel like it gave you a special self-control?
No, quite the opposite.
Wow.
I can't not eat all of any trash food that's in the house. I got to eat all of it and it's got to be instantly.
Yeah.
But because I'm the youngest of five, they were tired of telling me to clean my plate. So I didn't get used to that.
Oh.
So I only eat four things and they're all fucking trash.
Amber's terrible. She's like a toddler. She's never grown.
I'm a baddie.
From what
Amber,
she's
what are your four things?
That's what I was kind of wondering.
Chicken. In almost any way.
Okay.
Taco stuff.
Okay.
And green beans.
Okay.
And
mac and cheese.
You know, like desserts.
Oh,
desserts.
Yeah, she does like desserts.
That's about it.
Yeah. You have to choose your restaurant carefully because Amber's like, there's nothing I can eat there.
I know. Like, I'll go with you.
There's no clown on the there. Menu, so you can't take her. It's nothing. She go into a kid's wow. place, she's game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy seafood restaurant. She's not going to go in there. It's not
no, who needs
going
it?
That shit.
It's
terrible.
It. Well, I think those are a good four things. They sort of allow a lot of freedom of other things. You know, they're very general, so, but all delicious.
Yeah.
So I think that's great.
Not bad.
Well, are you ready to play a pretty fun game, you two?
We are ready.
Yay.
Okay. This game is called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Otherwise known as Let's Make Fun of People Who Don't Know How to Use Change.org. In this game, we'll bring up three different nostalgic petitions that people have made on change.org, and we'll each vote for our favorite. Are you ready to play?
We are ready.
Yeah!
Sorry, I keep asking if you're ready. It's because I'm nervous for this first one.
We're ready.
This first one came out about a year ago, and it's called Hire Amber Ruffin to Host Oscars 2023. And the petition says, Amber Ruffin should host the Academy Awards in 2023. Sign this petition if you agree.
Is that a joke?
Well, look, it has 8 signatures.
What? Am I on there? I don't remember signing it. I would have.
Lacey.
I've never heard of this.
Somebody put it on here. And.
What?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get to host.
You're going to get. No, I know you've hosted other shows. There's like, I know you've hosted other award shows, but this is the Academy Awards, which many would say is the biggest of the big.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And this woman, Brandy, started it. I won't give her last name.
Okay.
But Brandy. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, do we know a Brandy?
Amber, what do you think? Oscars come to you. They say, we're looking for a host. What do you think? Are you into it? What's your
10 toes down. Yeah. 1,000,000,000%.
Okay.
You know what the funnest thing is writing. I love writing for award shows because I write on Late Night Seth. So then he's hosted, you know, the Oscars and the Golden Globes, I want to say. But then I also wrote for the Tonys.
Oh, wow.
And then the Emmys. Oh, Seth hosted the Emmys, not the Oscars. Maybe he did host the Oscars. I don't know.
Yeah.
But all kinds of stuff. And they are so fun. And then I hosted the Writers Guild Awards and maybe something else. Mm-hmm. But it's always fun because you know exactly the target you got to hit.
Yeah.
And it's so neat. And you get, you know, you write 1,000 jokes, but you can't say but 4. And then you tell those 4 jokes and you go, man, I should have picked the other jokes. It's fun. It's always fun. It's super fun.
Okay. Yeah.
I love
to find that petition. I gotta sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So do I.
We can get it up to 12 in like the next 5 minutes.
If we all sign it, we'll get it up to 12. But now that I feel like.
Hey, everybody, sign it.
Yeah. There's an awareness of it now. Okay. So, Lacey, you're on board too.
I'm on board. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'm gonna put some fake names on there.
Well, where? Yeah.
Did I say that out loud?
Muriel Higginbottom. Lacey, what was that name?
I can't think of the name. Imogene Thudpucker. Imogene's going to sign
Imogene
that.
Thudpucker.
Imogene's signing that.
And kind of along the same lines, I said in an earlier podcast a few weeks ago that I could go into our podcast reviews and give 5 stars every day. And it would count. And I found out from doing simple math and just trying to start again that you, Jonah, you are right. You can only give yourself 5 stars once.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Apple's probably got that technology figured out. But,
Yeah. They say thank you, so that's why I thought.
I'm going to give you 5 stars.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. 5 stars.
Thank you.
5 stars.
And we'll give you 5 stars.
Yay!
Yay!
Now, so it sounds like we're all on board for this. Jonah, what if you came out and you said no?
No, I'm definitely on board. Okay, so the next petition is called Make Show Choir Have PE Credits.
Yes. I'm sorry.
This one's made out to the Millard School Board. It's very long, but I'll just give a quick recap. We all know how hard us show choir kids work. We have vocal boot camp, choreography boot camp, and hours and hours of practice. Not only do we dance, but we also sing while dancing, which requires a lot of hard work.
That's true.
According to dictionary.com, the basic definition of a sport is an athletic activity requiring skill or physical prowess and often of a competitive nature. Show choir is so physically demanding and it requires more activity than some sports. For example, basketball. So anyways, this whole thing is about how they should get PE credits for being in show choir because it's basically like a sport and it's very difficult. What do you two think about this petition?
100%.
Is it Millard, Omaha?
That's a good question.
Because I was about to say, when you said Millard, you that's an tell. Omaha thing.
So I is that an Omaha thing?
Omaha, Nebraska. Could be right. I mean, Millard could be anywhere.
Could be.
That's hilarious.
Millard, but, I don't know. It could be. I don't know. My only thing for Omaha is Saddle Creek. So that's my only reference
that's right.
point.
Saddle Creek Records.
Yeah.
Shadow Creek. My daughter was in show choir. I wholeheartedly agree with this.
Really?
You do.
I had to sit through all those show choir performances. I know Amber was in show choir. But yeah, my daughter was in show choir and they did a lot of jumping around and it was very, very trying. So I'm going to say yes, it should be considered sport.
I was in show choir. I went to show choir camp.
Whoa.
It was the shit. It was the only camp I ever went to and it was the most fun I've ever had easily. And I have to say this. If this is Millard in Millard, Omaha, and they're saying their show choir is physically taxing, that's true. But if it's any other place on earth, it is not. Buddy, a step touch and jazz hands up right, down left, up left, down right. That's not.
It's not.
It is not. It was not physically taxing. But there were some
they have upped
where they would
game.
Be like throwing each yes. other around. Yeah.
Wow.
And Millard, I remember, had red dresses back when I was a kid. And they were really flipping each other around in that mug.
Yeah.
And like you're singing, and singing is physical.
Yes.
Sure.
Whatever. It's true, but they really were like, it ain't no basketball, so please stop that. But it is, it's physically quite something.
Yeah.
Not basketball, but something.
Something. Jonah, what do you think about this?
I think it's a well-written petition. I think I'm okay with maybe we can end this trend of everyone labeling things as boot camp, vocal boot camp, choreography boot camp. Okay, like we get it, like something difficult. I guess we just call it boot camp. I don't know. But I like the dictionary definition. I think this person makes a compelling argument. I don't know a lot about show choir. I was never involved. But yeah, I mean, sure. It seems, I'm sure it's, yeah, why not give them credit? I mean, why not encourage people to be artistic, you know, especially if they're not good athletes, maybe they're talented at this.
Yeah.
Why not? I support this. What about you, Vanessa?
Well, yes, I support this. And in fact, someone wrote in one of the comments of it, my kids compete in show choir and many programs already successfully do this. So this isn't out of the realm of possibility, but we've come across many a petition that people, you know, kids often want gym to be or PE class to be optional.
Yeah.
And that's a very common petition on here. And I think show choir, it does seem like it's maybe a better compromise because I think a lot of the people who probably want gym to be optional are in show choir.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think I understand. I am from the world of I'd rather be tapping my toes and singing a song than, you know, kicking a ball because I'm bad at sports and I get out of breath easily. So I would say I like this petition. I think this person makes a good argument.
All right. We're in agreement yet again.
Now,
that's true.
Something that's crazy I want to say is for the first time in the history of us playing this game on this podcast, our next petition something that was a little crazy was that you guys think you might know the school that we were just talking about for the show choir petition. Something else that's crazy is I think I might know the author of this next petition that I randomly found. And Amber, you might know him too.
Okay.
This next petition is called Make Comedy Sports an Olympic Sport. And I'll read a little bit of it. And it's
made
and
by it's, Seth Meyers.
It's made by, oh my God. Can you imagine? Although, okay. Let me read a little bit of it. For too long, theater kids have never gotten to enjoy the cheers of crowds, the thrill of the win, or the glory of a championship. Until now. Comedy Sports is the country's first and only comedy show played as a sport. The two teams, we know how this works. We need to petition the IOC to recognize Comedy Sports as a legitimate competitive Olympic sport in 2024. I am Jason Geis, and I'm the artistic director of Comedy Sports Chicago. And as a theater kid my whole life, I've finally found my competitive side as I've watched other non-sport people find their competitive side. And it's just as intense as our more traditional sports friends. We practice every week, blah, 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 blah. It's real, and other theater kids need to see themselves represented in the greatest showcase of sport in the world.
I can't tell if that's Jason doing a bit or if he's serious. I think he was serious.
I mean, look, he put it on change.org.
Vanessa, how did you find this petition?
I was trying to look up comedy-related petitions, and this came up, and you know, obviously we had a comedy sports in Chicago that was very popular. Amber, did you ever do comedy sports?
No, because I auditioned and I did not get picked.
Ooh.
But I did do, Jason Geis had a comedy theater called PH, and I did that.
Yes, that's right. I looked him up because I was like, how do I know this guy? And did you do PH?
I did, for sure.
I think I almost auditioned for it, and then I didn't want to do... Wasn't it a huge time commitment?
It probably was.
Okay, I feel like...
And it was so fucking fun. It was like Lorianne Olbrich, Kevin Serretta, you know,
yes.
Like Rebecca Krasny.
Yes. My friend Alex Fox was in PH, and I'm still really good friends with her. And I remember, yeah, they had the best time, but... I recognized this name and I thought, I think I know this guy. And then I looked it up and I had emails from him.
That's right.
PH related emails, comedy sports related emails. And this is a first. There are so many petitions on change.org. And to have a petition that was written by someone you know, and it was written in 2019 and it has 64 signatures. So we could all still sign it. And someone wrote the comment, make the phrase comedy gold really mean something. And someone wrote the comment, comedy is a sport. And I'm not really sure why I read you either of those comments.
Well, I also feel like you two are talking about comedy sports like it's like this thing that I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, what is comedy sports? Okay.
Comedy sports is when people play short form games. Like, what's Wayne Brady's show is called?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? No.
Yeah, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yeah. That's right. So it's like a live Whose Line Is It Anyway, where you get suggestions and you play, you know, games based on those suggestions, more so than you get a suggestion and then you just improvise loosely for a half an hour or whatever.
Right. And then there's a referee because because there's two teams. What I'm laughing about is I had a friend, and I will not name this person, who I used to be on a team with in Chicago, who was once refereeing at comedy sports a game. Because, again, there's two teams of people, and the audience votes on which team wins the different games. But he fully shit his pants as referee and had to, like, keep coming on stage and refereeing and had to just stay facing forward, you know, and got hiding from everybody.
I can't.
But fully.
Say their first and last name right now. Vanessa, say their name right
Fred
now.
Fred Williams.
Who was it? Will you tell me and then have them bleep it out?
It was I think okay. Is how you pronounce his name. He was a good friend of mine. Okay. But okay. He fully shit his pants and I'm sorry.
Did he say why? Was he ill? Did he eat a lot of cheese?
He was living in...
Why do I need to know this? I need to know.
I think he was living in
squalor?
I think he was living in North Carolina at the time. And I think there's a lot of really rich food. Like whenever we had visited that comedy sports.
He wasn't
sports,
used to the food.
But I think he was used to it because he lived there. But when we visited there, you know, sometimes Southern food, it can be rich. I mean,
were you there?
No, I wasn't there. But I still think it's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard
like
about
you
someone.
You with the barrel? I have so many questions because if you're not wearing Depends... How do you... No one noticed?
I think this was not a regular thing for him. I think he just... He must have eaten something that disagreed with him and he was on stage. And, you know, those comedy sports, how long would you say they are, Amber? Like, the whole show, because it's a competition, probably at least an hour long.
No
yeah.
one knew? I just want to... No one was like, that dude up there just shit
I
his
almost
pants.
Feel like we need to do an episode where we interview him about this and just get his answer.
You do.
But I think he was able to somehow hide it. No, I will say this. I don't think it happened at the very beginning. So maybe he only had to hide it for, you know, a half hour or 45 minutes.
But, okay.
Oh, God.
But
oh
can God. You imagine having nope. to come out and be like, horrible. Okay, and that was zip, zap, zap. And if you like the blue team, give them a vote. And if you like the red team, and then just slowly backing towards the wall.
Oh, yeah. You'll be like, that was a brown paper bag foul. This was a vanilla ice foul. It was offbeat. No. Oh. All right. Next up in Do Run Run.
Amber, you're terrible. Terrible.
I love comedy sports.
Going back to the petition, making yeah, comedy sports an Olympic sport.
I don't think we can go back to the petition now.
Yeah, we went off the rails.
Done. Yeah.
Crash the train.
Does well, let's each vote on our favorite. And I think I know what our favorite is, but also I think this group seems like they would sign multiple of these petitions. Yeah,
100%.
But so Amber and Lacey, what do you each think of the petitions? Hire Amber Ruffin to host Oscars 2023, make show choir have PE credits, and make comedy sports an Olympic sport.
Of course I'm for Amber and the show choir, but not for the Olympic sport.
Yeah.
Fair. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think they should make comedy sports an Olympic sport because how hilarious would that shit be?
Oh my God.
I'm for it because I like chaos and that would be the friggin' best, man.
Oh man.
It's just some random audience being like, yay.
Yeah,
boo.
How do you
and
judge?
That decides whether or not you get yeah. a gold medal. Okay, man. I guess.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Funny. But I do think I should host everything all the
I
time.
Think so,
yeah.
Too.
Yes. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Jonah, what about you?
Yeah, comedy sports, I've never witnessed it. Doesn't seem, I think I might rather be stuffed in a laundry chute.
Oh, whoa.
It's fun when you're Jonah. First going in, but then someone's got to pull you out.
Maybe for like 5 minutes.
5 minutes is
but,
fun.
But no, in all seriousness, yeah, I wish them good luck with that petition. I don't know if it's really right for the Olympics, but you know, maybe it could be a thing. But I think, yeah, Amber hosting, obviously, it's going to be my pick.
Yeah,
I totally
definitely.
Support that. That's, yes. that's great. Vanessa, yes. what about you?
Same. I look, the comedy sports is an Olympic sport. My only issue with it is just I feel like there would be some perhaps language barrier issues where
sure,
it
sure.
might be, you know, and I don't know. I feel split on it. I sort of like Amber's reasoning of just the chaos of it, I think would be really interesting. And
that is
we want to support our friend in Chicago. But so I say I'm sort of 50-50. But it, obviously, if I had to pick one, it would be Amber to host Oscars 2023. Now, I think that it would maybe have to be 2024, given yeah. the current. But I think people are signing knowing that.
I think everyone needs to go to change.org.net
yes.
and then sign this petition that someone I know has to have done. Who would
okay,
do such a
do
thing?
You want her full name is, I will give it to you. Her full
we'll put
name
it in the show
is,
notes. We'll put the petition yes. in the show notes for sure.
We'll put full the petition in the is, show
what's her name?
Notes.
Brandy,
her name is
Brandy
Bigley.
Bigley.
I think she. Is. I think she's just a fan.
I think she's just a fan.
Oh,
too.
That's nice.
Yeah. Isn't that Brandy. So nice?
Brandy's my favorite.
Very
How nice.
Nice. So thank you, Brandy. You win.
Mm-hmm. Brandy won.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess it's time to draw this exhilarating podcast to a close. Thank you both so much for being here. Where can people find you two?
I'm pretty sure I'm at Amber Ruffin on everything. Maybe I'm at Amber M. Ruffin. Look, you know, try it and see who you get.
I think I'm Lacey Lamar.
Whoever you
one.
Get, that's what was meant.
Lacey Lamar.
I'm Lacey
one.
Lamar, okay. Lacey one. Lamar one. And we have a podcast. Yay!
Yes. Yes.
Yay!
Well, everybody, be sure to check that out. Jonah and I got to be guests, and we had a lot of fun.
Yes.
And they're adding in their sound effects late now. Because
you
know,
I can't hear it.
Okay.
Can't hear it.
Thank you so much to Amber and Lacey for joining us and to everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like sliding down a hill in a barrel.
Yay!
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.